the future, your hope for the future is not what it was when you were younger. You have kind of slipped into a survival mode, and you're not thinking, well, better days are ahead. God's going to do greater and mightier things in the future than he has even done in the past. But I believe we need to shift to that kind of a mindset. Some of us that are older, we need to shift to the mindset that we believe that God has big things, wonderful things, great things in store for the future. I don't know what Joseph did in those latter years of his life. He may have just sat on his porch and just said, well, those were wonderful days when Joseph was around. Those were such good days when Joseph was receiving those visions and the impact of his young life. But he's gone. How many people around Pentecostal churches today, they really have believed the report of the enemy? They are convinced that the best days are in the past. There's nothing that God can do about the present challenges and the times that we're living in today. I don't believe it, and I don't believe that's biblical at all. Amen. Amen. This story is a wonderful example of how God works full circle to prove his great power and how that he can work in such a wonderful way. Amen. Just because Joseph was out of the picture for Jacob, that doesn't mean it was over at all. As a matter of fact, Joseph was being mightily used of God. And God was going to use his life to save all of the generation of his family at the latter end of their lives, and even Jacob at the latter end of his life. And he had committed himself that no matter where he was at, he was going to be used of God. He was going to serve God. So Joseph, sold into slavery, sold into the household of Potiphar, and there he lived an honorable life. He did righteous living, even in that foreign country. Even to the point that when Potiphar's wife tempted him and seduced him, he said, I can't do this evil. I can't do this evil. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph was maintaining his integrity even in a foreign country. Amen. I do believe that we have a responsibility. I know that the Spirit of God is to be poured out. And sometimes when we talk about revival, we talk about, well, God can use this young generation to pour his Spirit out. But this young generation needs some of us older folks to show them the way to go. Amen. We need to lead by example. We need to be the first ones that are responding. We need to be the ones that are leading the way in worship, leading the way in serving God, leading the way in being used of God, leading the way in being filled with the Spirit, anointed of the Spirit. This is an older generation. We've got some older folks around here, and we need to be leading the way so that the young people know exactly what pathway to follow. Amen. Don't just say, well, praise God, we got young people, and God's going to pour his Spirit out upon the young people. Could it be that it might start with you and me? Some of us that are older, let's lead the way and let them know that there's hope in the church of the living God, and that the church can be revived if the older folks are revived, if we're stirred, if we're moved by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. So the younger generation needs to learn from the older, and the older needs to lead the way. But notice that the life has gone out of Jacob. He's full of grief. He's grieving all the days of his life. And he loved Joseph. He loved Joseph's connection with God. He loved that he was a miracle child. He loved that he was a person of character. No doubt he was, because when he went into to Egypt, he demonstrated his character. So he didn't just start living that kind of a life. As a young man, he no doubt was a young man of character and had a touch of God upon his life. Jacob says, I'm going to grieve till the day I die. I'm never going to be consoled of this. An older generation that has lost hope. Lost hope. Oh, we cannot lose hope. We must not lose hope. Older folks, we can't lose hope. We have to lead the way. We have to be the examples. We have to be those that are on fire for God, filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. There's Joseph. And every step of the way, the Lord is with him. When you go through, I encourage you to go through the story here in Genesis, how it continually repeats the phrase, and the Lord was with him. Praise God. The Lord was with Joseph. No matter what he faced, no matter the betrayal, no matter being forgotten, no matter being thrown in prison, no matter being falsely accused, none of those things affected his spirit and his heart. He was honorable and a young man of character, even in a foreign land. One of the things about what's going on in those years with Joseph, we need to be reminded of the fact that even though you don't know that God is working and moving behind the scenes, he is. All those many years, Joseph is down there in Egypt, and God is working. God's working in Joseph's life. God is setting it all up so that he can be the one that saves his family and his people. God is working behind the scenes. Jacob and his other sons had no idea of the wonderful things that God was preparing for them and how that God was working behind the scenes for them. But he was. Amen. So right now, in a time that is somewhat difficult in our world right now, God even uses that, just like he used the famine in the days of Jacob and his sons, to the point that Jacob finally says, I hear there's food. I hear there's plenty in Egypt. I want you to go and get it. Go to get what we need. It was the famine that motivated them to begin to seek after something. And there is a famine in the land right now. Spiritually speaking, there's a famine, but that famine should motivate us to seek after God with our whole heart. The famine should motivate us, even though it's dark and a lot of evil that seems to be prevalent in our world right now. Let that famine be the thing that motivates you to seek God with your whole heart, to go after God, to go after the things of God. Amen. And you'll find out that God is always working behind the scenes. They could never have dreamed or imagined how that God was preparing such wonderful provision for them and their future. Did they deserve it? Absolutely not. Those brethren were wicked and evil and carnal, and they didn't deserve it. But God, in his mercy and his goodness, was preparing provisions for all of them down there in Egypt, and they didn't even know it. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I noticed something as I was going through this, that Joseph wept three times. He wept when he first recognized and met with his brothers. And then he also wept when they brought his brother Benjamin, and he met Benjamin for the first time. It says that he wept. He had to leave the room and go out and weep and then clean his face up. It was some real ugly crying that was going on there. So two times that he wept. And then when he finally revealed himself, who he was, to his brethren, he wept again. It says he wept so loud that they heard him in Pharaoh's palace. Now, was Joseph just a crybaby? Is that why he was crying? There's no evidence, there's no mention of him crying when his brethren mistreated him and threw him in a pit. The Bible doesn't say that he cried. The Bible doesn't say that he cried when he was sold to that caravan of Midianites. No, he didn't cry. Doesn't say that he cried whenever Potiphar's wife accused him and he was thrown in prison. Or even when the butler and the baker forgot about him in prison. It doesn't say in any of those places that he wept. So why is he so overwhelmed now when he sees his brethren, when he sees Benjamin, when he reveals himself to his brethren? Why does he weep so much at that time? Because he realizes that everything has gone full circle. And the visions that he had when he was a kid, 17 years old, that it's all being fulfilled. And he sees the hand of God bringing it all to pass. And his own brethren are there. And he sees it. He's weeping because he sees the faithfulness of God in his life through all of the sorrow and the trouble. And when he finally sees his brethren, he just cries. He cries so loud that they can hear him in Pharaoh's palace. I mean, he's just overwhelmed. Isn't it an amazing thing that God is a God who keeps his word? And I just want to encourage you this morning to lay hold of the promises of God. You may not see the evidence that God is working right now, but be assured that behind the scenes, he's working. He's working. He's moving. He's answering your prayer. He's working in some wonderful and mighty ways. If you'll just put your confidence in the Lord and you wait on God's timing, you just trust the Lord. Every step of the way, the Lord was with Joseph. God was giving him favor. God was blessing his life. Joseph could have never imagined that in a matter of just a few days that he was going to be elevated to the position of such authority in all of Egypt. Only the Pharaoh, only the king was above him. He was positioned there, and he recognized all of this has happened because God had spoken it when he was just a young man, and that God was going to perform what he said he would do. Amen. The text that we read to you there from chapter 45, it starts with him weeping over his brethren. It's the third weep of Joseph. He wept over them, and after that his brethren talked with him, and somehow they're reunited, and everything is gone. Everything is forgiven. It's all in the past. You don't have to worry about any of those things anymore. Joseph said, God put me here. God has positioned me here. This is not, you don't have to worry about your failures and your mistakes, because God has put me here for this purpose and this time. He said, God did not send me. God did send me before you to preserve life. And Joseph saw it all. And my interpretation of the life of Joseph and his seeing his brethren is he wept because he saw the hand of God being fulfilled. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He wept and he wept and he wept. And this time, and then he says, okay. The king says, the king heard it. The king heard it. And he says, get the wagons. Get the wagons. Fill the wagons. Get the animals. Fill up the animals with all kinds of supplies, plentiful supplies. So it's such an overwhelming provision to all of Jacob's sons to be brought to him. And he said, lay them your beast and get you into the land of Canaan, take your father and household goods and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Take all this wonderful provision and know that I want your father and I want the whole family to come back here, and I'm going to provide a special place called Goshen for them. And everything they need, they're going to have all they need. It's going to be a plenteous supply. It's going to be provided to them. Amen. Now, when they came back with all of these wagons and these animals loaded down with goods, and they spoke to Jacob, and said, Joseph is alive. Joseph is alive. He's alive. He's the governor over the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Hey, have you ever heard of too good to be true? There are some things that God does for us that when you step back and you observe what he has done, you just have to say, Lord, this is better than I could ever have dreamed. This is too good to be true. The provision of the Lord. Amen. Now, we need to have hope in the church that God wants to revive the church. Stir the church. Revive us once again and fulfill his promises. We've been on the down and out side for way too long. We've been defeated and discouraged, and we don't have the faith that we need to have. And the Bible says that Jacob, when he heard the good news, he really couldn't hardly believe it. It was too good to be true. How could this be true that my son Joseph is alive? Remember, Joseph represented, he is a type of Jesus. He is a type of spiritual life and spiritual victory, a type of revival and all. God was working in Joseph's life, when he was a teenage boy, still in the household of Jacob. And Jacob recognized that. And when he thought he was dead, he thought it was over. And a lot of folks believe that. They're in the church and they believe, well, the better days are behind us and God doesn't have anything for today. Oh, I want you to be encouraged today to understand that what God has been preparing and what he has prepared for the last days is better, greater, more wonderful, more amazing than anything you could ever imagine if you'll lay hold of the promise of God and believe God today. Amen. Joseph is yet alive. He's the governor. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. But notice this. It says, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to him, he knew that his sons didn't have near enough money to buy all those kind of supplies. He knew this was the favor of the king. He knew this was the provision of the king. When he saw all those wagons, he just stepped back and said, oh, when he saw the wagons, then he believed. Then he believed. He believed that truly Joseph was alive. And the Bible says the spirit of Jacob that had died all those years before, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Oh, that the Lord would revive the spirit of a lot of us here at this location, First Pentecostal Church. Lord, revive the spirit of the young and the old, and let it begin in me, and let it begin in all of us that are older, a renewed confidence. If we get to see the wonderful blessing and provision of the Lord, we don't deserve it. It's more than we could ever, ever earn. It's the goodness of God, the grace of God, the blessing of the Lord. When he saw the wagons, he recognized, surely this is the provision of the Lord. This is the provision of the king. And Israel said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is alive. I will go and see him before I die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. God. Amen. Some of us that are older, I wonder how many of you would be honest with me that you are older than 55. Hold up your hand. Hold it up there now. Amen. I thank you. For all of you that are honest and to those of you that are dishonest, then that's between you and the Lord. There's a lot of people in here and you've had spiritual experiences. You have witnessed the blessing of God. You have witnessed answers to prayer. You have seen God's mighty power work in your life. You've witnessed it down through the years. But your children and your grandchildren and my children and my grandchildren, they need to see us lead the way. They don't need to see hopelessness and discouragement and depression and all those things. Those things don't need to overcome your life. Jacob's just sitting on the porch thinking, my better days are gone. My better days are gone. But then he heard the wagons coming up the road and the animals coming up the road. And he saw all this amazing provision. And when he finally was convinced that this is the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says his spirit revived again. Praise God. And the church needs that kind of revival. We need that reviving. It'll bring hope back to the church. Victory back to the church. It'll bring life back to the house of the Lord as we believe God today. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Jacob goes with his sons back to meet with Joseph. And Joseph lets him know. The enemy, he meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God was working. God is working. I know that we can kind of look at the past couple of years and we wonder, what in the world? What has happened in our world? What has turned our world upside down? Well, God uses famines and difficulties and dark times to cause us to hunger after Him, to seek after Him with our whole hearts. And I pray that God would once again, as He revived the spirit of Jacob, that He will revive the spirit of the church and the people of God. Would you stand with me this morning?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Would you just lift up your hands and let's thank God for the wonderful blessing that is ours today. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We don't have to live in defeat and hopelessness, discouragement. But Lord, instead, we can lay hold of the promises of God. We can see all the wonderful ways that you are blessing our lives. Oh, we thank you for that. And even in a time of trial and problems, Lord, that we face today, Lord, let that motivate us to seek you with our whole heart. Let that motivate us, Lord, to cry out to you and to find help, Lord. Presence of God, hallelujah. Praise your holy name, praise your holy name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. I'd just like to ask all of you that are in your 50s and 60s and up, would you come down here to this altar? Lead the way. Lead the way for the young folks. Amen. Amen. Lead the way. Amen. Step out. Amen. A generation that needs to get revived so that that younger generation can see the mighty hand of God in their lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for His mighty power and His presence. Hallelujah. Could this group right here join with me right now in just asking God, Lord, pour your Spirit out upon us. Lord, bless and move mightily in our lives so that we can lead by example, so we can show the younger, Lord, the way, Lord, to revival, the way to a move of God. Would you cry out to God with me this morning around this altar? Hallelujah.